that's going. All these buttons and switches. Oh, thank you, Lord. What a joy to be together, just thanking the Lord with each other. We're in Judges 1:1, continuing our reading of the Word. We've already read the chapter. Judges 1:1. Now it came about, after the death of Joshua, that the sons of Israel inquired of the Lord, saying, "Who shall go up first for us against the Canaanites to fight against them?" We're at the very beginning of this book of our current consideration. And last time we had a brief introduction to the book of Judges. Now we're looking at the first verse of the first chapter, as it contains a critical component to the whole of the life that we have been given by the Lord. Note the fact that the children of Israel were without a leader to go before them in the final stages of the conquest of the promised land. Heretofore, they had been faithfully led by Moses and then by Joshua. Moses had been their leader throughout the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. He had led that first generation out of slavery in Egypt. Then he was called upon to lead the nation around as the second generation was witnessing the gradual death of their faithless parents. At that point, the children would be enabled to enter the land under the command of Joshua. As his days were coming to an end, however, Moses devotedly sought the Lord as to who would finally lead that people across the Jordan into the promised land. As we have recorded for us in Numbers 27:15 through 17, Moses was very serious in his commitment to the Lord and to the people. He did not take the mantle of the leadership lightly. He had faithfully worn it for those severe decades of wandering in the parched deserts of the wilderness. He had led the people from waterhole to waterhole until the appointed time of their conquest of Canaan. Accordingly, Moses earnestly asked the Lord to prepare the one upon whom the mantle of leadership would be placed after him. Numbers 27:15 through 17. Then Moses spoke to the Lord, saying, "May the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, appoint a man over the congregation who will go out and come in before them, and who will lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may not be like sheep which have no shepherd." Moses did not want the people to be without a godly leader. He knew that they would not be able to go forward without someone prepared by the Lord to guide and to gather and to intercede for and to pray for and to obey the Lord on behalf of this nation which Yahweh had brought into existence. They needed a strong leader who would keep the people on track in their approach and conquest and the distribution of the land into which they were being readied to inhabit. Please note that Moses did not take the deciding matter into his own hands. He asked the Lord to make it known who would take over that leadership role. He sought the Lord to prepare and to establish and to bring forth the one whom Jehovah would choose from amongst all the tribes of Israel. Consider the fact that there was no monarchy in place at that time. There was no prescribed order of heritage which would establish the leadership. It would not be through the lineage of any particular person, such as Moses' sons, by whom this role would be filled. It was only by the order of the Lord, bringing forth His chosen servant, that the next leader would be put into place. And we find God's choice declared in Numbers 27, 18 through 21. Here the Lord made it known that the mantle of leadership would be put on Joshua's shoulders. Even the declaration of the Lord's choice was provided in order that there would be no doubt among all the tribes and families that God had been the one who picked Joshua. Accordingly, all would honor and obey him as the next divinely appointed shepherd of the nation. Numbers 27, 18 through 21. So the Lord said to Moses, "Take Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him, and have him stand before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and commission him in their sight. And you shall put some of your authority on him, in order that all the congregation of the sons of Israel may obey him. Moreover, he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall inquire for him by the judgment of the Urim before the Lord. At his command they shall go out, and at his command they shall come in, both he and the sons of Israel with him, even all the congregation." The point of all this is that Moses did not make the decision on his own. He had been working with Joshua. He had been relying on Joshua. God had given Joshua command over the army and had directed him in the course of the battle plan. Joshua had faithfully spied out the promised land. Joshua had been at the side of Moses throughout the wandering with regard to the spiritual and the practical leadership of the nation. Joshua had been the continual aide-de-camp for Moses, as well as his servant in time of need and crisis and rejoicing. Although Joshua seemed to be the obvious choice to take over, Moses never made that assumption. He prayed to the Lord, and he asked God to make the choice, to make that selection clear to all the people. He prayed and asked God to install the Lord's choice into the place of authority and guidance. That was ever the case with Moses, as we have seen throughout our studies. He was in constant prayer for the directives of the Lord to be made through him. He did not make decisions unilaterally. He sought the Lord, and he cried out to the Lord. Moses counted on God to give him the answer and the direction and the counsel and the admonition and the means of understanding whereby the nation would truly be led by the Lord. As a result of the examples of the God-directed leadership of Moses and then of Joshua, the people were shown how decisions were to be made. This is what the Israelites did at the beginning of this book of Judges. They asked the Lord to decide which of the tribes would lead the rest in the continued conquest of the land. Joshua was no longer alive, so the nation did what every one of us should always do. they inquired of the Lord, just as had been taught them by Moses and by Joshua. They asked the Lord for His choice and His direction and His decision in the matter. Judges 1:1-2. Now it came about after the death of Joshua that the sons of Israel inquired of the Lord, saying, "Who shall go up first for us against the Canaanites to fight against them?" And the Lord said, "Judah shall go up. Behold, I have given the land into his hand." There are two key aspects to reconsider in this regard. The first is that the Lord chose the tribe of Judah to be the preeminent tribe to lead the nation into the final stages of the conquest of the promised land. This was the fulfillment of the blessing of Jacob upon his son Judah, as recorded in Genesis 49:8-10. Genesis 49:8-10. "Judah, your brother shall praise you. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's son shall bow down to you. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He couches, he lies down as a lion, and as a lion, who dares rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the peoples." This choice of Judah by the Lord preempted the right of the firstborn in terms of what had been the traditional heritage of receiving the birthright. It showed that God was not bound by the ideas or the practices of mankind. He was above tradition and custom. His choice was foreordained and could not be thwarted or limited or set aside. As a direct result of this intervention of God to declare his choice of the preeminent tribe to lead the rest of the nation, Judah became that royal tribe in the years following the conquest. It was preordained that the kings of Israel would be forthcoming from this family of Israel, that the Christ would be born from the tribe of Judah was foretold throughout the scriptures. The voice blessing from Jacob was the voice of the Lord God in declaring his selection that would eventually be fulfilled by the birth of the only begotten Son. Jesus would be born within this clan of people, so chosen at God's directive, as evidenced in these first verses of the book of Judges. Because of this decision of God, we see that the kingly lineage was established from the tribe of Judah through the house of David. The eternalness of this kingship through the house of David is culminated in the everlasting reign of our Lord Jesus Christ, as declared by God through the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 9:6-7. Isaiah 9:6-7. "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. This brings us to the second aspect to this initial passage in Judges. Note once more that it will be the Lord of hosts who will accomplish it. The people were asking the Lord to decide which tribe would begin the conquest. It would not be through the decisions or through the willpower of men that anything will come into being. It is only ever by the power and the wisdom and the ruling and the overruling of the Lord God Almighty. It is only as men seek Him and obey Him and obey His commandments that anything of eternal value will be established. That is why it is imperative and abundantly wise to ask the Lord to make the every decision according to His plan and His purposes in the lives which we live. We see this same course of decision making, or rather, asking the Lord to make the decision, evident with David, as was recounted in 1 Samuel 23:1-5. Within David is the pattern that was being established in terms of seeking the Lord's wisdom and the Lord's guidance with every action and decision. Even before he became king, David was shown to ask the Lord to guide his choices. This passage recounts the decision whether or not to fight the Philistines. It was something that David did not want to make on his own. He needed the assurance of the Lord going before him as he was leading his men into this battle. 1 Samuel 23:1-5. Then they told David, saying, "Behold, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah and are plundering the threshing floors." So David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go and attack these Philistines?" And the Lord said to David, "Go and attack the Philistines and deliver Keilah." But David's men said to him, "Behold, we are afraid here in Judah. How much more than if we go to Keilah against the ranks of the Philistines?" Then David inquired of the Lord once more, and the Lord answered him and said, "Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will give the Philistines into your hand." So David and his men went to Keilah and fought against the Philistines, and they led away their livestock and struck them with a great slaughter. Thus David delivered the inhabitants of Keilah. Later, after both Saul and Jonathan had been killed, when it was time for the new king to be installed upon the throne as directed by the Lord, David did not just assume that mantle. He prayed, he sought the Lord, he continued that reliance upon Jehovah to guide him. Even as David was going to be crowned as king, he asked God where to go in order to accept that responsibility. As detailed in 2 Samuel 2:1, David was directed by the Lord to the precise city in Judah in which to receive the scepter of kingship. 2 Samuel 2:1. Then it came about afterwards that David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up to one of the cities of Judah?" And the Lord said to him, "Go up." So David said, "Where shall I go up?" And he said to Hebron. We need to come to grips with the fact that we should always seek the Lord in the every decision of our lives. It seems that the large and the momentous choices are those easiest decisions to take to the Lord. That is because we do not want to make any long-lasting and consequential mistakes in the course of our lives, so we seek the Lord for His choice. On the other hand, the simple day-to-day decisions that we make, we just take for granted. We tend to do things without asking the Lord to guide us in those supposedly easy and straightforward tasks. The key, however, is that we need to take every opportunity of decision making before God for His hand to be fully operative in our lives by the power of the Holy Spirit and completely in line with His Word. It is way too easy for us to get into difficult situations when we try to do things on our own at any time. We may think a decision is an easy and a plain one, yet it may put us into a position into which we should never go, or a seemingly simple choice may bring about contacts and interactions which take us out of our depth of understanding and ability. Many times, in the course of the routine, the Lord brings people and events into our lives which can utterly change the rest of our walk on this earth. We should never assume that our day will be ordinary and boring. We should always begin each day with the prayer for the Lord to guide our every step and the every step of our loved ones. We have no concept what the next moments will bring and the life decisions that may be at hand. Our hope and our trust and our faith are continually in motion within the manner in which we conduct any and all of our efforts on this earth. That is why even the smallest decision needs to be covered with the prayer for the Lord to direct how our proceedings are to take place. We learn to seek and to obey the Lord as we do so in the seemingly minor elemental choices of our lives. Then, when we are faced with those momentous and critical decisions, we have the exercise, training, and practice of obedience in place in our lives. We learn to continually flow forward with the will of the Lord being our single desire, seeking His guidance to be our steadfast manner of dealing with the course of our walk on this earth. So be it. Now it came about after the death of Joshua that the sons of Israel inquired of the Lord, saying, "Who shall go up first for us against the Canaanites to fight against them?" Amen.